There's a few places. 1 Corinthians tonight. 1 Corinthians, we'll read there a few verses. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now we're going to go over to Ezekiel chapter 33. 1 Corinthians 6. Then we're going to go to Ezekiel 33. Well, blessing to be here. I'm glad this is my church. Amen. Amen. Those of you that are here, you ought to say amen. Thank God. I'm glad I'm in a good church. Where they like preaching. Amen. I'm glad some of y'all do. We got it last night, didn't we? And yesterday morning. And Wednesday night. And boy, it's been a blessing. We've enjoyed it. Thank God for preaching. If you ain't got preaching, what do you got? Nothing. Preaching to help your family. Preaching to help them kids get saved. And you. Preaching to help your wife get right. Preaching to help your husband get right. Amen. Preaching to help that family, thank the Lord. You know, them families that are in a mess usually ain't in church under good preaching. Amen. Amen or oh me. You say, Brother Jason, you trying to get us ready for something. Praise God. I like preaching. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, Ezekiel 33. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother McBride preach. Very dear friend of our family, his family, we love him. And sure enjoy being with Brother Hart. What a blessing it is to be with him. And so many more friends that have come in. We sure thank the Lord for you being here. And boy, we've enjoyed it already. We've been looking forward to Jubilee. And man, I wish it would last longer. And it excites me to see all the motorhomes and everything out there. I love it when it covers my mess up. Amen. Nobody can see it. And that's a blessing, but it's exciting to see all the preachers and friends. Boy, it's good to be around God's people. 1 Corinthians 6, let me begin reading down there in verse number 9. The Bible said, what? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. Pay attention to this word right here. Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of times when we read that scripture right there, boy, we figure out all that crowd there. Boy, I'm not one of them. I'm not that. Thank God I'm not that. Man, I'm not. That's awful. But we skip over that word covetous. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 33 tonight. Ezekiel 33. Let's begin reading in verse number 30. Ezekiel 33, the Bible says also, in verse 30, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. If I can explain that, let's go hear what the man of God has to say. In their houses, they talk about it. Come on, let's go down there to the church service. Let's go down there to the meeting. Let's find out what's going on. Let's find out what the preacher has to say. And the Bible says in verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words. Watch what it says. But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love. But their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, watch what it says in verse 32. Thou art unto them as a very lovely song. Boy, we sure do like you, preacher. Man, you sure do know how to put it out there. Man, what a blessing. What a good message. Man, I appreciate your word. In other words, that's what they're saying. Lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song. They really enjoy it. Of one that hath a pleasant voice. Man, nobody talks like him. And can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And the Bible said, and when this cometh to pass, then he said, lo, it will come. May I say, it is here. He said, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we sure need you. God, what are we without the help of the Holy Ghost of God? Lord, I pray that God, you please would help me to say exactly what you want said. Lord, I love my church. I thank God for my preacher. And Lord, the people that are here and the friends and people of God. Nobody knows the heart like You know it. So, dear God, I pray that Your Word would be sharp as a two-edged sword. And God, that You would cut where it needs to cut, pour the oil in and heal where it needs to be healed. Father in heaven, I pray, God, that You'd help me now to preach the Word of God and be with our dear friend, Lord, Brother McBride, as he comes in a little while. Lord, speak to the hearts of Your people. God, I believe with all my heart, if there's anything that this country needs, God, it's preaching. Lord, I thank You for the Bible, the Word of God, and for the help of the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, we love You and we need You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 31 again, here's what the Bible said. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear my words, but they will not do them. Watch what it says. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. I want to preach for a little while on this subject, going after your covetousness. I know it ain't no flashy title, and I know it ain't something that many of us probably want to hear, but if you would, just for a little while, allow the Lord to speak to your heart maybe. Today, in other words, the Bible's telling us they hear the preaching of the Word of God. There are people today that will go to church, friend, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They'll even go to meetings Monday through Friday. And they hear the preaching on sin. They'll hear it on separation. They'll hear the good preaching we heard like we heard last night on prayer. They'll hear preaching on hell and heaven and salvation. And they'll hear preaching on service and sowing. And they'll even sit in church and say, amen, boy, that's good. That's a blessing. But the Bible said, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Covetousness is a strong or inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing some supposed good. Usually, it is in a bad sense, and it is applied to an inordinate desire of wealth or avarice, which is extreme greed. It is also a strong desire, eagerness, to desire that which is unlawful to obtain or possess. In other words, let me put it this way, meaning this. You want something, or you want to gain something, or have something that you know that you're not supposed to have. Now, the Bible says in Luke chapter 21, verse 15, and He said unto them, that He said, take heed and beware. Here's what God said. Now, don't write me off, church. He said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. The Bible said in Ephesians 5, verse 3, He said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. He said in Colossians 3, 5, mortify therefore, that means kill, destroy, put away, and get rid of. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. May I say to you, dear friend, tonight, that covetousness comes from the heart. Covetousness engrosses the heart. Covetousness is idolatry. It is the root of all evil. May I say to you that covetousness is never satisfied. It is vanity. May I say also, dear friend, that covetousness will lead to injustice and oppression. Covetousness will lead to foolish and hurtful lusts. It leads to departure from the faith. Covetousness will lead to lying and murder and theft and poverty and misery and affliction. May I say to you that covetousness is abhorred by God. That means God hates it. Amen? Covetousness is forbidden. It is a characteristic of the wicked. It is a characteristic of the slothful. Covetousness should be mortified by the saints. It should be cut out. It should be put out. Not any part of it in our lives. Now, may I say to you, covetousness destroyed. There's all kinds of examples in the Bible. Covetousness destroyed Laban. It destroyed Achan. It destroyed Eli's son and Samuel's sons. It destroyed Ahab and Gehazi and the nobles of the Jews. Covetousness, if you study it out, it destroyed the Jewish people. It destroyed Babylon and Judas and Pharisees. It destroyed Ananias and Sapphira. And it destroyed Felix and Balaam. And we could go on. And so I ask the question tonight, if covetousness only destroys, why would we want it in our life? Why would we run after something that's going to destroy you? Listen to me, young couple. Listen to me, dear friend, teenager. People today are not running after God. They're going after their covetousness. We live in an age today where it's all about me. Whatever I want. Look, take a picture of me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Me. Look what I wanted. It's all about me. It's all about what I want, they said in verse number 30. Here's what they said. They said, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. In other words, their thinking is, come on, let's go to church. Let's go hear what the preacher has to say. Let's go see what's going on down in the house of God. Let's hear the good singing. Let's hear the preaching. And even some will say amen. But the Bible said their heart goeth after their covetousness. What's your heart going after tonight? What things in life are more important to you than the things of God? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12:31, He said, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The day in which we live in, many people today of all phases of life are not coveting after the things in God. Instead, many are coveting after the things of the world. And I say to you, dear friend, there's some things that I've seen amongst even God's own people, and I want to try to preach to them tonight. Number one, they're going after the covetousness of pleasure. The Bible said in Proverbs 21:17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, the Bible said that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The Bible said in James 5:5, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. And I say to you, dear friend, the covetous heart will never be satisfied. It will always be wanting. The Bible said in Matthew 24:38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. You know what that means? That means that day all they did was party. All they did was have a good time. I mean, the man of God is preaching in the Word of God. I can hear them. Hey, come on, let's go down there and hear what Noah has to say. They went down there and maybe listened to him, laughed and mocked at the old man of God. He cared anything about it. And the Bible said that they were living and eating and drinking and marrying, just having a good old time until the day that Noah entered into the ark and God closed the door. And it wasn't long, friend, and the party stopped. You hear me? And we're living in a day today where it's a day of a pleasure life. There's very little willingness to work with the Lord. Very little willingness to worship the Lord. Very little willingness to walk with the Lord. Serving God is a bore to many people. Most people today don't want anything to do with the house of God except coming to church and going back out and living their life of pleasure. They're coveting after more and more. Man, I got to party. I got to have a good time. I want to go fishing and hunting and play and run and do. I ain't got time to serve the Lord. Today people would rather play on their computer than read their Bible. They'd rather read or post something on Facebook than they would pray to the Lord. They'd rather stay home and watch television than go to the house of God. Many would rather golf, and I'm not saying that's wrong to do, but they'd rather go out and golf and play than serve the Lord. Go fishing and go visiting. They'd rather go hunting instead of go soul winning. They'd rather do for themselves than they would serve at the house of God. They'd rather do what they like to do than what God wants them to do. I'm not trying to beat you up, friend, but I'm saying to you, there's an epidemic going on in the church today, and people are so consumed with their covetousness and their pleasure. That's why the churches today are not full. That's why you can't hardly find people to work on bus routes and work in Sunday schools and be faithful to the house of God and faithful to God, because the teenagers are running after their covetousness. College individuals running after their covetousness pleasure. Young adults are going after the covetousness of pleasure. And we live in an I want, I gotta have, I gotta do society. It's all about me. Let me ask you a question. What covetousness are you going after that's keeping you from serving God? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Nothing wrong with coveting the things of God. If you think you're not going after your covetousness of pleasure, sit down and figure up how much time you spend serving God. And then sit down and spend up how much time you enjoy your pleasures. There's nothing wrong with having a good time with your family, doing things. Don't misunderstand me. But many people, their lives are centered around their pleasures. Going after the covetousness of, number two, prestige. The Bible said over there in Matthew 12, verses 28, down there in verse 28 is what it said. He said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing, love salutation in the marketplaces, the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feast. In other words, may I say to you, friend, going after the covetousness of prestige is this. I want you to recognize me. I want my name to be mentioned. I want you to recognize what I've done. I want to be the one that people depend on. I want to be the one that people look to. I want the praise of men. In other words, friend, everybody's doing everything they can to get recognition and prestige from everybody else. And there's even following up into the churches. It's going even into the preachers' hearts and lives. There's some, make sure you put my name in the sword of the Lord in revival fires. Make sure you talk about me and all that I've accomplished. Make sure you don't forget to tell about my good qualities. Make sure that you let me have my turn to preach or speak to this crowd. Make sure you tell everybody what I've done. Let me say to you, dear friend, I am a common man preaching a great message to a common people. And it's not about me. It's all about Him. Who cares if anybody knows who we are? I'm doing my best, and we ought to do our best to do what God wants us to do. God said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father, which is in heaven. Hey, it's not about us, dear friend. It should be 100% about Him. And there's people today that's running around going after covetousness and prestige. They're trying to get all the glory they can get. It's not about me and you. Here's what 3 John 9 said. He said, I write unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the apostles wanting to come by your church and you telling them, I don't want you here? May I say to you, Diotrephes did not want the apostles there because he wanted the superiority. He wanted the rank, he wanted the dignity, he wanted the power, he wanted the influence. Diotrephes didn't care about the welfare of the church. Diotrephes didn't care about the spiritual growth of the church. He didn't care about the souls that would get help. He didn't care about the ministries of the church. Diotrephes wanted to be first. He cared only about his prestige, his position, his power. And there are many today in our churches that are not concerned about the things of God. They're more concerned for their wants, their welfare, and their prestige. Covetousness is destroying our churches, and God hates covetousness. If you read 1 Corinthians 6:10, the Bible, you'll find that the covetous are named between thieves and drunkards. We lock up thieves. We got no mercy on them. We despise drunkards. We consider them great sinners against the law of God and man. If there's far more said in the Bible against covetousness and against stealers than there is against stealers and drunkards, God hates covetousness. Number three, going after the covetousness of plenty. Some of y'all have already wrote me off, I can tell, but please come back. Come back. We live in a world today where people covet greatly after plenty of things. That's the American way. And one way they try to achieve that is with money. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not opposed to having nice things. But I'm not going to let it come between the Lord and me. 1 Timothy 6:6-10, here's what it says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now listen to what this says. Young people, hear me. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. The Bible said it pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now the Bible talks about perdition. That means to lose or ruin entire loss or utter destruction. And there are people out there, friend, God's trying to tell us, hey, be content. Contentment with great, is great gain. He's saying, hey, if you got food, you got raiment, be content, because those that will be rich, man, they got to make money. I got to be rich. I got to do this. I want to have this. God said they're going to fall into temptation and a snare. The Bible said because of that covetousness, they'll fall into that temptation and that snare, which will cause foolish and hurtful lust. Not only does it destroy them physically, but it also destroys them spiritually. The Bible said that some erred from the faith. Now that's sad, but I have literally watched it happen. I've watched people that got money. I can tell you two or three, four or five people maybe that had good businesses and good jobs. And preacher, they used to be in the church. And God started blessing them. And their business started growing. And the next thing you know, they didn't have time for that bus route anymore. They didn't have time for that Sunday school class anymore. And you know what? They started missing them Wednesday night services because they were making money instead of serving the Lord. Now, misunderstand me. I'm not talking about if you have to work. I'm talking about people that didn't have to. And the next thing you know, they started missing this and missing that. And now today, they're not even in the house of God. They erred from the faith. You know why? Covetousness. Luke 12:15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. What drives many people today is not spirituality, but carnal covetousness. The thought life of today is I have to work a lot and make a lot so I can have a lot. God said, beware. Some work to provide for their family and give to themselves. Others work to provide for their family and give to the work of God. And I say to you, praise God for the latter. But Luke 16:19, listen to the verse. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Rich man cared about himself. Where is he at tonight? He's in hell. Who's better off? Poor man, Lazarus, or that rich man? Luke 12:18, he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. You know what he's saying? I want more. Man's never satisfied. He always wants more. The fight of this flesh is always wanting. Always wanting more. We'll fight the covetousness of pleasure, the covetousness of prestige, the covetousness of plenty. Let me give you this one. Going after the covetousness of people. In the business world and in the church and in everyday life, people covet after what other people have or what others get to do. And many today are not satisfied with the job they have, the car they have, the home they have, the body they have, the hair they have, the clothing and so on and so on. Instead, they look at what others might have and they covet after what other people have instead of being content with what God has blessed them with. Today, it's easy to start a fad because many people covet to look like and be like somebody else. It's a shame, friend, that the church even falls right into this. Somebody starts messing up their hair instead of combing it. Now you got a bunch of guys all over the country messing up their hair instead of combing it. Let somebody do something weird with facial hair, the next thing you know, everybody else is wanting to do something weird with facial hair. I'm not trying to be rude or mean. Stay with me now. I'm just trying to prove a point. Someone started bobbing her hair off. Some woman did. Some other women started bobbing their hair off. Amen. Some woman started wearing hip huggers and showing off her body with tight-fitting clothing. So other women started wearing hip huggers and tight clothing. Somebody started wearing the pants hanging off their backside. Now we still got guys running around 10, 15, 20 years later still hanging their pants off their backside. My brother's a police officer. He catches them all the time. They can't run. Some sissy of a boy started wearing an earring. So now we got a bunch of our sissies running around wearing earrings. Somebody started wearing nose rings and tongue rings. And man, somebody else said, I got to get me one of them. Now you got these guys that have got these big monster holes in their ears, and so other people say, man, I got to do that too. And somebody started wearing faded old holy clothing, so now we got a bunch of other people wearing faded old holy clothing. If my mama would have took my clothes whenever I was younger, my old worn out jeans with holes all in them, and hung them out in the yard and tried to sell them, people would have thought she was a nut. Now they get $40 and $50 a pair for them. My mom and dad could retire and be rich on what I've got thrown away. Let me ask you a question. Whatever happened to being a beautiful, normal-looking lady and a sharp, normal-looking man? Amen. We walked through the hospital yesterday with my family. We was in there. Went to go see my grandfather. He's out now. Thank the Lord for that. But we walked in there, and of course, we had our Sunday clothes on, but the girls looked like ladies anyway all the time. Boys looked like young men, and the boys had their hair combed. Amen. And they looked sharp, and we try to look our best. Amen. We walking down the hallway, and man, it's just about every single individual we passed, those that were sitting in the waiting room, they gawked at us and looked at us like, you know why? Because we are abnormal. That's why. If my youngins would have had all kinds of things hanging out of their lips and their nose and their hair messed up, and my wife looked like something that they pulled off the street, and my girls had on some kind of little mini skirt where they walked down through there like some kind of hussy, they wouldn't have paid one bit of attention to them. But can I say to you, you take a family that loves God and wants the God of heaven all over them, separated and holy, and try to live right. They'll look at you like you're some kind of a freak. It's always, I wish I had her hair. I wish I had her body. I wish I had her outfit. I wish I had her shoes. I wish I had their house. I wish I had his job. I wish I had his position. I wish I had his money. I wish I had his car. I wish I had his body. I wish I had his girl. And the Bible said over there in Exodus 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything, he said, that is thy neighbor's. But today they're going after the covetousness of coveting after what other people have and look like. The Bible said in Psalm 103, verse 3, he said, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. God wants you to be you. Serve the Lord. Going after the covetousness of pleasure, prestige, plenty, and people. Let me give you this one real quick. Going after the covetousness of pornography. How do you hear that preached? 2 Peter 2:14, y'all stay with me, don't get nervous. Bible said, having eyes full of adultery. That's in the Bible. And that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls. And heart, they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. This world, may I say to you, thinks consistently and continually on sex and nakedness. And it's because of the pornographic society that we live in. And it's sad. It's in our churches. We'd be shocked to know how many people sitting in this room right now looked at it today. God help you. We live in a sad day when men and women go to the house of God not to worship the Lord, but to covet and lust after the opposite sex. And when a person gets involved in pornography, they are trying to live out their covetousness and their lust while wishing they could have something that is not lawful for them to have. The Bible said, having eyes full of adultery, exercising their covetous practices. May I say to you, this is not a practice that only men are involved in, though many of them are, but also many women have exercised themselves in this wicked lifestyle. And now, may I say to you, dear sir or ma'am, that you have indulged yourself in this filthy, covetous lifestyle. You cannot cease from sin. So you find yourself going through everyday life thinking, I wish I could have him, or I wish I could have her, or maybe her, or maybe him. Oh man, he looks good, or that one. And I say to you, friend, the Bible says they are unstable souls. Ephesians 5:5. For this you know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. For you to covet after another person, whether it be male or female, and it's not lawful for you to have. The Bible said this is great wickedness, and God hates it. Covetousness is idolatry. That means this. That means you're worshiping that man or that woman above God. Or you're worshiping whatever it is you want above God. You'd rather have him or her or that thing or whatever it is more than you would God. Let me say to you, sir, you look upon the nakedness of another woman and covet after her, you're wicked. Wicked. Ma'am, you look at another man and lust after him, and you're married, whatever it may be, and you're involved in that and go, this, you are wicked. The Bible said, mortify it, kill it, destroy it, get it out of your life. Covetousness has been the destroyer of many churches. Covetousness has been the destroyer of many homes. Covetousness is many times stronger than the love that a couple once had. Covetousness will cause you to leave your wife or your husband and your children for somebody else. Covetousness will cause you, dear friend, to not have feelings for your children
and care only for what you are coveting after. You ever thought and wondered, how in the world could she do that to her children? How in the world could he do that to his family? Because all he's thinking about is what he wants. His covetousness. Covetousness has destroyed and is destroying the lives of people even today. The Bible said over there in Mark 7, 21 through 23, he said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And I ask you, how does it get in the heart? Right through the eye. Now, I'm not preaching on this tonight, but I'll say it. That's why television's so dangerous. So dangerous. There's no way that I'd put a television in front of my children. No way. You say, you're weird, Brother Jason. No, I care about them. You can't even watch a commercial without there being some cussing or nakedness or filthiness. Now, don't get mad at me. Some of y'all don't like this because you're oblivious to it, because you watch it all the time. God help you. I'm not mad at you. And I got friends all over the country that have them, and I don't know what they watch. That's between them and the Lord. But if you allow what comes in the eye gate to conceive and lust and covetousness, it will defile you and destroy you. Pornography is no doubt one of the leading sins that is destroying preachers, families, and churches in this country, going after the covetousness of pornography. I'll give you one more and I'm done. Going after the covetousness of passion. Some of you may be thinking, what in the world are you talking about, preacher? That means this. They covet the passion of others. The thought of many today in their heart is this. I want you to want me. That's why they dress the way they do. That's why they live the way they do. That's why the sexy so-called social media that people put out all over the place is because they want people to want them. That's why they practice taking pictures of themselves so they know which ones look the best so that somebody else will want them when they put it up on Facebook. That's why you see today women in their tight shirts. Don't get mad at me now. That's why you see them wearing open and low neckline shirts. Women used to wear clothing on top of clothing to make sure they were covered. Now they wear as little as they can because they want you to want them. That's why you see men today running around with no shirt trying to show something off. That's why you see them in their tank top shirts. That's why you see women today in their hip hugger blue jeans or shorts. That's why you see them showing off their bellies or their chest or their rear end. That's why you see men and women dressing in the ungodly fashions of today, like miniskirts and see-through clothing and nude clothing and bathing suits and form-fitting clothing and skirts that used to be full and sleek in the Christian peoples. Now they are form-fitting. May I say to you, just because it comes to the knee does not mean that it is modest. Amen. Amen. I mean, can I say to you, friend, they put on that skirt, it goes to the knee, but they can't hardly walk in it because it's so tight. That is not modest. You hear me say why? Here's why. Because you want somebody to want you. You covet that. That's why they get the tans and build the muscles and show off the body. That's why we live in a time where people will do whatever they have to do to get others to covet with passion after them. Their thought life again, I say to you, is, I want you to want me, and I covet that, and I'll do anything I can to make you want me. The Bible said in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. 1 Corinthians 6:13 said, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. So don't put it up for sale, because it's God's. 1 Corinthians 6:15, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? I didn't say it, God did. God said, 1 Corinthians 6, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's God's.
If it's God's, I have no reason. I should never try to dress in a way so somebody say, boy, I hope somebody wants me. I hope this looks good so that they'll want me. If that body that you have is the Lord's, then what right do we have in dressing it in the fashions of the world and coveting after another passion? This is probably one of the most sensitive subjects in the church because people don't like you telling them how to dress. Friend, please understand, it's not me that's telling anybody how to dress. God's the one that said it. I just read you what He said. Most people in our Baptist churches could probably throw away 75 to 90% of their clothing. For someone to live their life coveting after the passion of others means to live a life hated by God. And you won't get your prayers answered like the preacher preached last night. We're living in the days of 1 Timothy 3:2. The Bible said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Psalm 10, verse 3 said this, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Covetousness, the sin that will destroy you. Again, let me say it this way. Covetousness destroyed Laban, Achan, Eli's sons, Samuel's sons. It destroyed Saul and Ahab and Gehazi and the nobles of the Jews, the Jewish people, Babylon and Judas. It destroyed Pharisees, Ananias and Sapphira, Felix, Balaam, and it's destroying the church today. And here's what the Bible said in Psalm 119:36. It said this, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Colossians 3:5 again, mortify it, kill it. I'll read you a story and I'm done. The legend of covetous and envy. An old saint, while journeying over, took two travelers. One was greedy, avarice, and covetous. The other was jealous and envious. When they came to the parting of the ways, the saint said he would give them a parting gift. The gift was this. He said, whosoever should make a wish first would have his wish fulfilled. And the other man would get a double portion of what the first had asked. The greedy man knew what he wanted, but he was afraid to make his wish because he could not bear the thought of his companion getting twice as much as he would have. The envious man was also unwilling to wish first because he could not stand the idea of his companion getting twice as much as he would get. So each one waited for the other one to wish first. At last, the greedy man took his fellow by the throat. And he said he'd choke him to death unless he made his wish. At that, the envious man said, very well, I'll make my wish. I wish to be made blind in one eye. Immediately, he lost sight of his eye. And his companion went blind in both eyes. And so the legend goes, envy and its companion, covetous, has blinded and cursed the souls of man ever since. Covetousness will blind you and destroy you. Going after